evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We got snowed out or iced out last night. Not in Washington, but I guess down in Round Rock, Texas, they had some problems with the weather down there. I didn't think they had cold weather in Texas like they do here in Washington, but in any event, we are here tonight live, and we do have a very special guest. His name is Mark Anderson, and he is a correspondent for American Free Press. And that, of course, as you know, is the national weekly newspaper from Washington that I write for on a regular basis. Now, before I bring Mark up, I just want to make a few comments. You know, I've been writing for American Free Press since its inception, and before that, for the Spotlight. And, you know, over the years, I've been associated with those entities more or less now for 25 total years. And during that time frame, my writing and my focus has gradually evolved, or did gradually evolve, into a very definitive focus on the intrigues of the Israeli lobby, international affairs, sometimes political corruption here in Washington. So I've kind of had, and plus media critique, so I've kind of had my own beat, so to speak, and I've followed that pretty consistently. I always say I'm a hack writer with opinions. And for better or for worse, that's what I look at myself as. But there are a few people out there who are real live investigative reporters who actually go out in the field and dig out lots of good news and information from grassroots America. And I'm pleased to say that one of those people has signed on with American Free Press. He's been writing, actually, for American Free Press for a couple years now. And as I say, contrary to popular legend, I'm not one of the secret behind-the-scenes controllers of American Free Press. I'm not even, although I'm listed on the masthead as being on the national staff, I'm not actually on the staff. I don't have any stock in the company. I work from home. I pop in the office pretty much every day or every other day to see what's going on, and I generally don't know what's in the paper until after it's been published. But I will say this much. About a year ago, year and a half ago, I noticed some stories in the paper by a guy named Mark Anderson, and I said to the editor, Chris Petherick, I said, hey, this is pretty good stuff. I said, did you pick this up off the Internet? And he said, no. He said, this guy, Mark Anderson's been in touch with us, and he's been sending us some pretty good stories, and he said, I'd like to bring him in as one of our writers. So that's exactly what Chris Petherick did. And, you know, I had the folks at American Free Press print out today from an internal catalog a listing of the stories that Mark Anderson did for American Free Press over the last year or so. I just want to read you some of the titles, brief titles, to give you an idea of the wide range of stuff that Mark has written about. Keeping Judges Honest. Many states enacting the Castle Doctrine. Citizens protest explicit books in children's library. Biofuels boosting economic growth. Foreign combine to run NAFTA tollways. Legal immigrants say no to illegal immigration. New film focuses on collapse of the World Trade Center towers. Heartland says no to UN. California City wants Old Glory removed. Kansas City to be the floodgates for a free trade tidal wave. A review of From Freedom to Fascism, Aaron Russo's film. That's the kind of good, wide-ranging reportage that we've gotten in American Free Press from Mark Anderson. And Mark has joined us here tonight on the program for the first time. I'll be hearing his voice for the first time ever. And we both write for American Free Press. When we come back from the break, I'm going to meet Mark Anderson for the first time, and many of you will be also. Stay tuned.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper live, much to the distress of many, coming to you live from Washington, D.C., here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, courtesy of a product that I will always endorse because I know that it works. At least it works for me. That's Headache Stay Gone, the all-natural cure for headaches. You know where to check it out on the Internet, and if you don't, I'll tell you right now. It's headachestaygone.com. And the toll-free number, it's an 800 number, is 1-800-327-0727. Now, I'm here in Washington, D.C., and I want to tell you, as you know well, there's very little opposition to the New World Order in Washington, D.C. Most of the people here in Washington, D.C., are part of the New World Order, part of this whole gangster regime. These are gangsters who have infiltrated our system and are using our constitutional system. They're working to destroy it from within. But the good news is that all over the United States, in small towns and small cities, and even in a few big cities here and there, there are people who are resisting the New World Order, good grassroots patriots. And one of the purposes of American Free Press, and certainly the Republic Broadcasting Network, is to bring you the good news about those people out there in the heartland who are resisting what we generally call the New World Order, however we define it. The one journalist working for American Free Press over the past couple years who's consistently been on top of a lot of these movements and these efforts has been Mark Anderson. And Mark, I welcome you aboard.
It's great to be here. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's good to hear your voice for the first time. Constantly when I'm visiting AFP office, I hear that Mark Anderson has called in, but you and the big shots are conducting business, and I'm just running around bothering people. But
first time I've heard your voice too.
Yeah, well, people think those of us at American Free Press are all part of some. I don't know whether a conspiracy or, you know, depending on how you look at it, but this is literally the first time we've ever spoken, but I've certainly read your stuff and enjoyed it. And
oh, good.
And, you know, Mark, you really filled a void there because, you know, American Free Press was first set up in like, August of 2001. And then, of mm-hmm. course, in September, we had the whole 911 business, or as some people insist on calling it, 9/11. And that really shifted a lot of our focus to 911 and international affairs. But, you know, as a consequence of that, we started to forget about things that were happening at home. And, you know, when you came aboard, how long ago did you first start writing for AFP?
Oh, I believe it was 2003. I started dabbling, but I didn't really start doing consistent work until 2004.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, I started with a riot in Benton Harbor, Michigan, but I delved deeper into why those riots ultimately occurred, at least some of the reasons that I thought they occurred. But then, yeah, the grassroots thing just sort of took hold that you referred to.
Mm-hmm. You've written a lot about this whole thing called free trade and how corporations like Walmart are tied in with the Red Chinese and the whole free trade movement and how it's affecting America, and that's something that something people need to know about.
Well, yeah, what they need to understand is how all the dots connect, because the mainstream media, what they do is they give you sort of scattered bits of information that are almost impossible to connect into some sort of integrated whole that you can understand, whereas American Free Press, I believe, does a good job, and I'm trying to help it in that way, to connect the dots factually, connect the dots so we understand the big picture, and rather than all these little snippets that don't seem to have any relation to each other.
Mark, let me ask you a question. How old are you, Mark?
46.
46. How long ago was it that you realized that the mass media in America was not really telling the whole story?
Well, I started in the mainstream media working for your typical weeklies and dailies in Southwest Michigan and in Northwest Indiana.
America's
and as time
Heartland.
Went by, It probably occurred to me clearly probably about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I mean, before that I had inklings, but it really became clear about 10 years ago.
Was there any particular thing that opened up your eyes, or was it a gradual opening, so to speak?
A little bit of both, but there was a daily paper I used to work for, I won't name the paper, that actually kind of chastised me for writing things that were a little closer to what I thought was the truth. And so there's not only do they not publish a coherent, truthful stream of reporting, they're also actually hostile, some of the time at least, to genuine efforts to get a better, more connected picture of the truth out there for the public to digest.
Well, let me ask you a question, without picking on that particular local paper, but generally, I guess, did you find that a lot of the concerns about what you were writing tended to be they were upset because you were maybe pointing out how corporate special interests were betraying America and the Constitution? I mean, that's kind of a leading question, but I kind of suspect that might be. Am I right there?
Yeah, you're close. It was more they're very uncomfortable when you talk about any kind of power behind the throne.
Okay.
Any kind of controlling power elite or power that has the government by the tail.
Okay.
They want people to believe that everything is hunky-dory, and it's all that this is just your standard corruption that's going on, that there's no bigger picture.
Okay.
As soon as you talk about the big picture, that's when they get uncomfortable.
Okay, well, that's all right. Well, I guess that's more or less in a direction I was going. And I gleaned that over the past couple years from your writings, that because this has been a consistent theme in your writings, and it's an important theme because, you know, I have said so many times on this show that so many Americans think of the mass media as being some sort of something free. You know, they turn on radio, they turn on television, they don't think of it as they almost look at it as a public service, just like they think of their local newspaper as this benevolent journal that brings them all the news they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
But like you just said, they have a very, let's call it a conservative point of view as far as protecting the powers behind the scenes.
They do. I call the media, the mainstream media, the state-allied media. They're not the state-run media like in Cuba or something, or North Korea, but they're an ally of the state.
Right, exactly.
They share the same statist or quasi-socialist view that government is the caretaker of all and the savior of all, that, you know, and they really kind of discourage independent thinking under the guise of encouraging it. That's what's really tricky about it. They call themselves part of a free press, but it's a very narrow viewpoint. It's an extremely narrow box of reference that they keep the news within. It's amazing. Thinking outside the box is almost a heresy. They just don't want you thinking outside the box. That's a simple way of putting it. But American Free Press is a prime example of thinking outside the box. That they're trying to form fit around our brains. To be more courageous, to be more exploratory, to connect the dots factually and to paint a bigger picture so people can see what's going on, frightening though it may be at times. We do not live in a Shangri-La, unfortunately.
Well, you know, Mark, as I say, your stories have hit a lot of different issues, from energy independence, the mm-hmm. development of biofuels.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about judicial corruption and how people have. What state was that in South Dakota, or was it North Dakota? There were efforts to bring judges into line.
Yeah, South Dakota. Matter of fact, the very next American Free Press talks about the fact that even though that ballot initiative to bring judges into line failed in South Dakota, there are people, grassroots people, once again, like you're talking about, that are spreading this around to go on the ballots in other states. So, in other words, that proposal is down but not out, as they say in boxing. And so the legal establishment that fought it so hard in South Dakota are like the hand that squeezes the sand, and the sand goes right through their fingers. It's popping up in a number of states, Nevada, Michigan, Florida, and all over the place. So, our Congress can't seem to read its own constitution where it says that they can impeach judges or even abolish lower courts when judges and the judiciary get out of line. So the people are taking it into their own hands because Americans don't have any choice anymore. Those that have chosen to become informed and take action, they look to their state legislatures, they look to their Congress, they look to the mainstream media, and nobody's looking out for them anymore. They're all, you know, everything is just, it's like some sort of nightmare that they can't wake up from.
Well, you know, and as I say, that's been that has been kind of a guiding philosophy behind American Free Press, and that thread has been very consistent in all of your writings from my perspective.
No matter
how wide-ranging the issues have been that you've approached.
Right. Yeah, I try to make the one common theme is the fact that people are feeling forced, in lack of a better word, to take things into their own hands. Not a vigilante mentality, but just because nobody's looking out for them anymore. If you imagine a city where there's no police left, what are you supposed to do? the sheriff has left the station. You know, it's too bad. It doesn't have to be this way. We have a derelict House of Representatives, the worst Congress in the history of this republic right now. I mean, bar none. I don't think that's arguable. These people just steadfastly refuse to put the president in check, the executive in check. People just down the line, even at the local level, you know, school boards and whatnot pass local taxes. When the voters say no, the school board comes back and says, well, we didn't hear you say no. We're going to put this tax on the ballot again and have you vote again.
All right, Mark, we have a break coming up. I'm going to hit you with a big question that's going to make you think when we come back. So put your thinking cap on if you don't have it on already. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, courtesy of Headaches Stay Gone. We've got Mark Anderson, who is a roving reporter, so to speak, for American Free Press. check out American Free Press on the internet. AmericanFreePress.net.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you're mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasermedinc.com. That's www.lasermedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper, joined tonight for the first time on this program, Mark Anderson, who is kind of a roving correspondent for American Free Press. And as I noted, and Mark concurred with my assessment, a lot of his writing has had a common thread, the concept that Americans at the grassroots are beginning to understand that things are out of control and they're trying to do something about it. Now, Mark, I guess my big question for you, you know, as we've pretty much established here, your writings have really covered a lot of different areas.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say, though, from your experience, which is considerable, what would you say may be the overriding, I don't want to call it issue, but the one issue that you've covered that you think has the biggest impact on the conduct of public policy in the United States today?
You mean in terms of conduct of public policy? Do you mean in terms of maybe having influence on policymakers?
What is the biggest issue? What is the one that that needs to be addressed so directly that if addressed could be a key to turning things around?
It would definitely be the implications of the reality of and the future of the NAFTA Accord, and that probably ties into the Central American Free Trade Agreement too. In other words, the whole infrastructure of NAFTA, the legal infrastructure in terms of the way it changed our constitutional order, and the actual physical infrastructure where they're building the Trans-Texas Corridor and other highway arteries and utility arteries and railroad arteries that are going to cut through the country like some sort of cancer. If you imagine America as a body, this is very much a cancer on the body politic. It's a huge issue. It starts in China and the Asian countries, and it includes the shipping routes that go to the Pacific ports of like Lazaro Cardenas in western Mexico on the Pacific Ocean. And then from there, the train and truck routes go right up into Texas. And then you have this planned highway system that just fans out like a huge arterial system throughout the 48 contiguous states of the U.S.
Well, you know, I tell you what's interesting about this is that, you know, I really was totally, as much as I thought I knew about NAFTA, I realized when I read the article you did, I don't even remember what the date on it was, but it was an article on this very topic, so I'm glad that's the one you talk about right now, because the way it's been set up, of all places, Kansas City, Missouri, has been actually turned into the hub of all of this. I mean, most people would think, well, that New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles would be kind of the hub of an international trade operation like this. But it's actually Kansas City. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, well, I think what's going on is that the people that put NAFTA together, as you probably know and more informed people know, have no concept of national loyalty, national identity, or national borders. These concepts don't mean anything to these people. The entire world is this enchilada to them, this economy. It's a bizarre, absolutely bizarre mindset. I can't even get my brain around how anyone could even think that way. But be that as it may, then they look at Kansas City, and I think the clue was in the one article I did when I actually went to Kansas City, which I've been to more than once for the paper, and I talked to a guy named Chris Gutierrez of Smartport, Kansas City Smartport, and he said Kansas City has the assets, the infrastructure, to an extent, the workforce, the geographical location, the existing train routes, the existing highways to sort of get all these NAFTA railroad and highway, these new routes kind of fed into it. And the strange thing is Kansas City is not a border, not anywhere close to being a border city. It's in the middle of the country.
Exactly.
But that these people don't think about borders. They just look at the assets Kansas City has. After all, we're nothing more than an economy, right? We're not a constitutional republic. And they're kind of just feeding everything into Kansas City as a halfway house between Mexico and Canada. But they're also going to put a Mexican customs facility there. I guess that's for stuff going in and stuff into the U.S. and from the U.S. into Mexico.
A customs facility in Kansas City, Missouri.
Right, I've been piecing this together, and I don't have all the pieces of the puzzle yet. I haven't connected all of the dots because you have to get your facts straight to do that, you know. But what it boils down to is, yeah, that you've got this paradoxical choice of a internal heartland town suddenly turned into a customs facility where they're supposed to inspect containers coming into the U.S. Now, supposedly there's some preliminary electronic inspection of these containers, even in other countries, before they leave to come to the U.S., but that's according to a Council on Foreign Relations report. But like most CFR reports, they're contradictory.
Putting it lightly, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, hold that thought. We have a break coming up, and when we come back, we got about a 25-minute stretch, and we've already got one caller aboard, so we'll bring him up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you courtesy of Headaches Day Gone. Check it out on the Internet, headachesdaygone.com.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Can't You Bet Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm sorry to say our internet connection is down, so our internet listeners are not hearing this broadcast. But fortunately, shortwave still lives, and those who are able to tune in, I hope they are tuning in. We've got Mark Anderson, who's kind of our roving grassroots correspondent for the American Free Press, on board with us. Mark was just describing this, and it is extraordinary, this extraordinary restructuring, really, of the American economic system, maybe the deconstruction of the domestic American economic system and its reconstitution. I hate to even use the term constitution in this regard, but its reconstitution into an international system under NAFTA. Now, Mark, I recall just a couple days ago in the Washington Post, there was a big story about NAFTA, and it said very, very frankly that although everybody thought NAFTA was going to reduce the number of Mexican immigrants into the United States, that that hasn't happened at all. And you've been looking, obviously, in the course of looking into NAFTA, you're stumbling across immigration explosion, and it's something you've also covered directly on that issue of immigration. Could you talk a little bit about how NAFTA affects immigration and vice versa?
Well, yeah, like the AFP that just came out talked about an activist from Kansas City named Abner, and he mentioned something that he's trying to get Congress to do, and that's to tweak the system, if you will, or change our policies so the average Mexican person living in Mexico can live, you know, earn a decent wage by working in their own country. What NAFTA was supposed to do was lift everybody's boats at the same time. That is that, you know, the factories established in Mexico to make cars or components for cars would improve the standard of living for the average Mexican, and then they'd have no incentive to crash the border here, right?
They'd have every incentive to stay home and get a good job there.
Right, but but that didn't happen. The wages plummeted there just as the jobs and wages are plummeting here. Everybody's boats sank rather than everybody's boats floating higher in the harbor, metaphorically speaking. So NAFTA did not deliver that promise that was made at the time that that treaty, I might emphasize that NAFTA is a treaty, when it was passed, that was one of the big arguments to sell it to the American public, we'll export more goods and our economy will prosper and the average Mexican will, you know, have better jobs and everybody will prosper together. Well, that just didn't happen.
No, in fact, how many illegal aliens do they say we have in this country now? I've heard estimates anywhere between 10 and 20 million, and God knows it's going to get a lot worse.
The official is 12 million, but then I've heard numbers as high as 30. Yeah, you're probably safe right around 20 million, give or take a little. That's probably a safe number. The government understates the national debt, and they understate how many illegal aliens are in the country. That's an important component of NAFTA was that, you know, what I said there, that illegal immigration would go down because the average lot in life of the average Mexican was supposed to improve, but by and large it did not.
You know, one thing you had said, I have to correct you on it. You said everybody's boats sank. I think everybody except the yachts of those billionaires who own these major corporations that are standing to benefit from all these intrigues here on American soil that are not really very well known to the average American, except the readers of American Free Press. So
right. Yeah, that's true. Maybe their yachts were, put away for the winter, so to speak, while the harbor got dangerously shallow. I don't know, but it's NAFTA and the like I say, the architecture that comes out of that to, like you say, deconstruct our economy and reconstruct it along global lines. It's getting brutal now. They're really hammering away at the average middle class really hard now.
Yeah, I mean there's not only NAFTA but there's CAFTA, Central American Free Trade Agreement, and I think there's also I believe Caribbean Basin Initiative, which is kind of an extension of CAFTA, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that. Is that correct? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, what they do is they lot of little building blocks build a larger structure. They'll have the Chilean Free Trade Agreement. They'll have the Argentinian Free Trade Agreement.
Right.
And that all those little pieces of the puzzle form what they're going to call the NAU or the North American Union, where they amalgamate the entire Western Hemisphere into sort of a, you know, more or less one entire giant super state eventually. At least that's the demented dream of Mr. Rockefeller and his ilk. You know, these people, they're fit to be tied, I'm telling you.
You know, it's kind of interesting. There's been, Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, and now these new, that the mass media keeps calling them leftist governments in Central and Latin America, but these are actually, they've actually taken stands in opposition to these so-called free trade agreements, and now they're calling them, the mass media is calling them communists, because they're basically saying we don't want to be taken into this imperial construct that pretends to be something that's going to help the people. And so unfortunately, so many good patriots are now thinking that a lot of these leaders in South America are communists because they're standing up to these international super capitalists.
Right. Well, some of them, of course, might be disingenuous about it, or they might be play-acting a little bit, But I think that there are a lot of countries that whatever their ideology, just don't want to be bossed around like that by some global school marm, you know.
Yeah, that's a good way.
And that doesn't mean that they're squeaky clean in their own right, but it does mean they're willing to stand up to this combine. And that's a good thing, because I think what you're seeing in Iraq and hopefully not in Iran, but you're kind of seeing an annexation scheme. There was a scholar that spelled this out some years ago. I won't go into it at length, except to say that he said that to have this global community, that countries that don't want to join the global community will be forced to join.
Exactly.
And Iraq is being annexed into the global community. I think that's a pretty good way of understanding it. And Iran might be the next rebel on the list that's going to be made to conform. And to make countries join some global, to be another patch in the patchwork quilt of a world government by force is really mean. It's really, really dirty pool.
Willis Cardo, who is associated with American Free Press, has always called it a global plantation, and I thought that was a very interesting turn of phrase to describe it, because that's essentially what it comes down to.
Right.
And we're all part of the global plantation if the New World Order crowd gets their way, so...
They're very ruthless.
What you've been writing about, obviously, has been focusing on what's happening in America. We've had other writers like Gonzalo Baez. He hasn't written for us for a while because he's tied up with some personal enterprises of his own. But he wrote about some of the effects of NAFTA and these other ventures in the countries of Latin America. And the interesting thing is, it's the same kind of process. The same kind of process is happening in these countries as what you've written about here in the United States. So,
yeah.
So we're all on the same side, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I think that American Free Press performs a really good service, and people can feel very isolated when they try and make a difference. But when they read a paper like that, they realize there's somebody 1,000 miles away trying to do something similar to what they're doing, and it connects everybody and helps everybody network.
To get a good perspective on things.
Yeah, so they don't feel alone, like they're, fighting alone.
Exactly.
And because there is power in numbers, but sometimes we don't know the numbers are out there, because the dominant media divides their coverage into what they call areas of dominant influence. That's what their advertising people talk about. They call it ADI. And they're hung up on geography. Well, if it didn't happen in our little neck of the woods, it must not be important, you know. Like a paper in South Texas might say, NAFTA will be good for the valley, and the valley might be a certain part of Texas. And they'll only look at it in terms of whether NAFTA is good for their locality, without ever looking at the nation as a whole.
The whole nation can go to hell in a handbasket, and the valley remains secure.
Right, which is an absurd notion in and of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, if nine apples rot, the tenth one's going to rot too. You know?
That's right.
You know, so I hate to break your little Shangri-La there, but this is what the dominant media does. They divide people up into sort of regions or localities, and they don't have their own reporters doing any national writing. It's all wire stories.
Yeah, well, that's like the Clear Channel Network has this radio monolith is set up all over the country. And
right.
They're on local news stations, but they're all fed from one giant brain somewhere electronically.
Exactly. So you'll get your local reporter working for the station or the newspaper, whatever the case might be, giving you the local news, what the school board did, what the Chamber of Commerce did. But when you want anything of a bigger picture, it all comes from the Associated Press for print media. Or whatever Clear Channel taps into for your broadcast media. And so you never get any different perspective on national affairs. It's all the same. It's all cut from the same cloth.
Well, this is the one thing I recall in the old days from the spotlight, that when NAFTA first started to rear its ugly head, we would get news clippings from local papers all over the country in which we were finding out that there were people all over the country who were losing their jobs in a wide variety of industries, from the typewriter industry to the motorcycle industry to the shoe industry.
No.
And the local areas were all suffering, but they had no idea that there were people in other parts of the country who were suffering the same things, and they didn't realize it was part of one big octopus.
Exactly. So you're in Flint, Michigan, and you're reading that your local auto factory is closing. You're reading it in your local Bugle, but you're not hearing that in Kansas City there's, let's say, a textile mill closing or something. You know, and so, once again, there's all these dots that aren't being connected.
Mark, has there been any one domestic industry that has actually benefited from NAFTA? Do you know of one? I don't.
Well, I mean, I know that in a couple small areas, the economy's managed to hang on to some manufacturing, and I think that's just from the resilience of the American system. It's an amazingly resilient constitutional system we were given. It's like a boxer that you keep punching and you think he's going to fall down, and he never quite falls down.
He keeps standing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you count to 8, he stands up. You count to 7, he stands up. And but to definitively say with confidence that where NAFTA has actually been shown to be a benefit to a given industry, I don't know of one yet. I'll keep looking.
I mean, you know, just as I say, just from my own, you know, from what little I focused on the, and I can't say I focused on the issue, I'm just talking about from the clippings that would cross my desk
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis, it always amazed me, you know, from small town newspapers in New England to newspapers from the Midwest to California, everywhere. I mean, I even remember the Florida tomato industry suffered because of the U.S.-Israel free trade agreement. I mean, and you think, wait a minute, why would the Florida tomato industry suffer? You know what I mean? It just but on and on and on.
Right. So, I think that anything prospering in the U.S. is prospering in spite of NAFTA, not because of NAFTA. And,
yeah.
And it's difficult to point out prosperity. I've been a musician off and on for a number of years, and I thought the musical instrument industry might stay mostly American-made, but unfortunately that's not happening.
That's interesting. I mean, even down to something like musical instruments. See,
well,
that's what I say. I mean, I remember when one of the typewriter industries went under, and it didn't have anything to do with the advent of computers. It had something to do with free trade. You know what I mean? It just on and on. But we have a caller from Texas who's been waiting patiently.
Great.
That's Jim. Let me bring him up. Jim, come on up.
Yeah, am I on?
You're on, Jim.
I can tell you one industry that's prospered very good, and that's the banking industry, primarily the Federal Reserve System and all their affiliate banks. They've prospered very well under this.
Well, that's
and I might caution your guest that when he said that his awakening was Benton Harbor, Michigan, according to the ADL, he might be considered a racist because that was a racial situation in Benton Harbor. So he might be careful about stating that in the future.
What that Benton Harbor incident that you mentioned, Mark, I remember you writing about it, but I don't remember the specifics. What was that?
Well, that wasn't when I woke up to what was going on in the world. That was my first story for American Free Press.
Oh, okay. All right.
And what I talked about was that it really was beyond race, that it really Benton Harbor was another victim of the dislocation of American industry. And then your racial problems and your other problems tend to fill that vacuum. But Benton Harbor, I wrote in that article, used to be an amazingly prosperous town. I mean, incredible. All sorts of auto-related industries, all sorts of manufacturing, and that was included. And matter of fact, the point of the article was to point out that race really didn't have all that much to do with the root problems there, that the racial problems came up later as a consequence of the loss of industry.
Well, you know, that's something, you know, I pointed out here on this show the other night that there was some sort of incident in Wisconsin recently where some gentleman, a white American who had a, I shouldn't say a long criminal record, but he had some sort of criminal record of misdeeds, apparently killed a Laotian immigrant.
Mm.
And, of course, the next thing you know, the New York Times is stoking it up as a racial incident when it could have just been one mean guy who decided to kill somebody who just happened to be of a different race, and they
right.
turned it into something else. And
right,
and, yeah.
Right, if somebody breaks in your house in the pitch dark and you can't see what they look like, and you happen to defend yourself, are they going to say that you did it because of race?
Exactly.
You know, it's the racial thing is a red herring that the mainstream media often plays, and it rarely are there genuine, proved instances of real racism happening. Usually race is incidental to the issue, but they try and make it central.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, like you say, in an issue like trade, they don't want people to focus on trade because the trade issue goes back, just as Jim said, to these international banks that are financing so many of these international trade deals with these large corporations and these mergers and so forth.
And he's right, and it even goes down to the local level. You know, banks thrive on debt, and a person who loses his earnings has to borrow.
Can I interject one more thing here, Mike?
Hey, I'll tell you what, gentlemen, we have a break coming up, and believe it or not, we've only got 5 minutes left. So hang on there, Jim and Mark. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, courtesy of Headache Stay Gone. Stay tuned for a little bit more before we wrap it up.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you're mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasermedinc.com. That's www.lasermedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We have our guest, Mark Anderson, talking about free trade and how it's destroying America, not just the United States, but the whole Western Hemisphere when it comes right down to it. Just to let you know, I've finally been able to get in touch indirectly with Jim Condit. He's going to be on here tomorrow night with us. And we're going to talk about one of the great Judas goats of all time, Malachi Martin, very interesting character, and you'll hear more about him. Jim Condit's one of the guys who really dug out the dirt on this guy, and we're going to have an interesting discussion. Okay, we've got Jim in Texas. Jim, you had another question you wanted to come up with here.
Yeah, I haven't heard too many people talk about what happens when this gigantic highway with a railroad right in the middle of it comes from the port in Mexico up to the port of entry in Kansas City, which it becomes a customs center. And what happens to the American longshoremen in New York, Baltimore, Savannah, so forth, all the way around the coast, including the West Coast? What happens to those guys' jobs? What happened to the American trucking industry? Who do you think is going to truck all this stuff all the way from Mexico up to Kansas City and then further on? They're allowed to go anywhere.
Mark, what do you say about that?
There's a lot. That's a very good point. There's a lot of indications that his concerns are very prescient here. First of all, the Kansas City SmartPort organization sort of euphemistically stated, well, if we bring things in through the Mexican Pacific Ocean ports, that'll, quote, ease congestion at U.S. West Coast ports, which is a very interesting way of saying we're going to do an end run around U.S. West Coast ports. At least it suggests that. Matter of fact, that's one of the things I'm working on right now, is to explore these very things he's talking about. But I already did report recently in AFP that the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, which is a pro-trucker group based in Missouri, is saying that these Mexican truckers will largely be flooding into the U.S. Maybe it'll start as a trickle and end up being a flood later, but that that they will undercut the U.S. trucker, and that their rigs and their own driving skills will not be nearly as well monitored or regulated. And so, yeah, you have longshoremen at risk as well as truckers, and some of that's established fact and some of it I'm working on, but the smell of it doesn't smell very good.
Well, none of it smells very good. Jim, I want to thank you for your call. We have another caller. I'm not going to be able to bring him up. We're running out of time here. So I just want to kind of conclude this hour, Mark, by thanking you for coming aboard. We're definitely going to have you back here.
Good. You're welcome.
I appreciate all the work you've done for American Free Press, and we have a lot of readers out there who are meeting you for the first time this way. And
good.
It's been a lot of fun. I've learned a little bit myself here. It has an awful smell to it, but maybe we can throw some bleach on it and clean it up. You know,
that's our job. That's our lot in life.
Yeah. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. I guess we have to think of ourselves as janitors.
Yes, or some sort of wastewater treatment plant.
There's a lot of people I'd like to drown in the sludge, I want to tell you. we may be able to find a use for that international corridor. We can get truckloads of American politicians and send them south of the border and let them meet all those Mexicans that they promised to help. I hear the Mexicans have a tradition of cannibalism, so let's hope that's true. All right, Mark, thanks very much for coming aboard. We'll see you soon. Good to
welcome.
Meet you.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mark Anderson, a great reporter. Glad to have him aboard tonight. Stay tuned for more good programming. We'll see you here tomorrow night with Jim Condit, talking about the great Judas goat, Malachi Martin, Zionist infiltrator in the Vatican. The people that like to talk about the Vatican should find this one very interesting. All right, folks, thanks for listening in. See you here tomorrow night on Republic Broadcasting, courtesy of Headache Sagon.
Attention, friends of freedom and liberty. Our constitutional republic is under a vicious attack by the sinister forces of world globalization. The hour is late, and we must all actively engage our families, friends, and neighbors before it's too late. Now you can exercise your constitutional right of free speech with a statement t-shirt from the Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Wearing a statement t-shirt causes people to think, challenge, and debate what they've been spoon-fed by the controlled corporate media.
There's no time to sit around in fear asking yourself, what can I do? Now is the time to make a strong public statement with one of the many T-shirts from Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Go to RBNLive.com's Freedom Store, NoTyranny.com, or call 800-724-2719.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.